for the rain.
I apologize for the rain.
Oh, you're right.
You
caused the rain.
The only thing I was really so tempted to hear about this today is when it was said we designed a room to make design thinking, and in the end we had to break off the room. And for me today, this was the key phrase, because in our very Prussian German mind, we still have this kind of idea that we have to build up a place, that we have to store it in the room, we have to put up in the cupboard, and that's going to how to grow. And I think what I learned from you during the years is this is not going to be the way how we can change our way from not just to improvise, but making new, a new philosophy on how to make new values in our world. Did I get it right? Did I get it wrong? What did you think about that?
The room, the space, is a facilitator but not a cause. It's not causal. So you really have to have people free to maybe do what they want. My response to our keynote earlier today, who was stressing leadership, and I'm a little infamous for saying no leaders allowed. So as soon as you've got a leader, the word is understood today, you've got a commander. Took them our whole history of militarism, and the commander's telling people. And once people are being told, their job is to cooperate. And one of the dilemmas in our language is that cooperate and collaborate are often used as synonyms. And in my own opinion, 95% of the time it means cooperate, even though you heard the word collaborate. So real collaboration, as I am fond of defining, is we agree to disagree. And that's a very awkward stage for most people, and it's completely outside much of the corporate and academic world. So one of my increasingly strong perceptions is, I'll be damned, we took on the human species, and that we have some 200 years maybe of devolution as comply, cooperate, dominated for maybe capitalistic purposes, efficiency, make money. And I've got a figure I'm enjoying using that shows the ascent of humanity. And at the peak, we have a hunter with a spear. And then we have devolution that ends up with a human at a computer terminal. And that terminal has been replaced by your smartphone. So that devolution has only reached the baseline. And it could go very negative for guys promoting digital engineering.
Jonathan, I think we have to tell to our people who are listening to us today that we are in a very strange, weird and nice situation. We are all holding up umbrellas in yellow color, and we are all standing on the entrance of the show. But you have been involved as much as your colleague in this whole process. And I would like just to have a glimpse of the truth of your mind.
I think it's an amazing thing. It's truly a radical change when you get a company, a big company, any big company, and one of such great reputation as Bosch, for example, saying, you know what? There's a better way of doing this, which is engaging people. I never thought, because I was in this a long time ago at Stanford too, I never thought I would see companies embracing it in this intelligent and flexible way. I never thought I'd see it moving up into the C-suite in the way it's moving up. And I think it's tremendous what's going on.
So in the end, our German attitude of putting everything into cupboards is going to change?
I appreciate your painting a very, very strong picture there. Because Germany is known for enormous innovation and amazing things, right? With a long history of that, along with top-down organizations. However, it's not about the room. It's about the whole culture. And what we're seeing is a real intelligence about making cultural change. And cultural change has to do with the things around us, it has to do with our behaviors, and it has to do with our beliefs and the stories we tell about it. It doesn't happen in a room, but rooms sometimes help.
So just as a simple report, I may just add to that, because if we open up the room as a space, and if we open up the space into a mindset,
yes,
and if we open up the mindset to something which we have learned in Germany, being as philosopher, into something what we call dialectics,
yes,
then we can disagree and agree in the same time and build up new structures. Is that the right way where German philosophy may help you up to the future of communications?
I think that's a deep insight, and I think that Professor Leifer is quite correct about that. New things happen, and this is actually, it's called the transcendental function, as long as we're talking about philosophy of Carl Jung. New things are born when you're willing to hold opposites long enough. Something new comes out of that. And the same thing's true for teams. If we can just hold on to it and not drill down to a solution immediately, but really stay there and see what grows, and it takes time. It just takes time. Wonderful things could happen.
Let me comment on time. It's taken us 50 years to begin to change Stanford. And at this point in time, we're infiltrating all disciplines. But we dare not go to the deans or the president for assistance. They don't want to hear from us. They're still in the command mode, and we're in the infiltrate mode. And I think that's what'll have to happen at Bosch. Much of what I heard, I didn't believe, because this was a leader telling us. So he's got all the right words, but is he actually doing the right thing? Is he really letting people decide what they want to do versus what he wants them to do? That's a long shot.
So maybe in the end, we folks here from Germany can give you some support in your strengthening the ideas in your own environment.
I see the German culture, and my exposure to it is very strong through HBI, and Hasso took a lead on that. But there's more interest here than in most lands.
Yeah.
I'll give you the zero on my radar. I'll give you the biggest signal on my radar. It's called China. So in Germany, we're first. And we have a lot of interaction with Bosch, with Siemens, with Airbus. These guys are out looking. That's the first thing you got to detect that they're asking.
So this interview has been much longer than intended. And still, I will ask you a last question, which will be the most difficult one. The question is very simple. Maybe I have forgotten a very important question. So imagine this question yourself and give an answer to that. So what do you think has been the most important question I didn't ask, but you would have liked to answer?
You didn't ask what I meant by infiltrate.
Shoot.
And I think you didn't ask because infiltrate has a very negative connotation. These are bad people. They're going to steal your stuff. They're terrorists in the language of the day, but they're coming in from the bottom. It's the students changing the university, not the professors, and certainly not the administrators. And we have a nice publication that came out this week from the Chronicle of Higher Education with the title of approximately, Will Design Thinking Redesign Higher Education? And there was a workshop actually at Stanford, D school guys, I'm sure. A member of the press participated and wrote up the story. And much of the story is kind of commenting on what the nature of the workshop was, which I actually, a bunch of silly stuff, you know, lying on the floor and dancing. Okay, well, this group does stuff like that to try to get people to break out of their habits. As the author got to the maybe last 20%, she was really asking, how are we going to handle the skeptics? Because it's hot, it's fashionable, it's cool, but there are a lot of mainstream skeptics. They're in that room too. And this is something I'm going to say to Hasso in the laudation. Thank you for supporting design research. I see it as one of the only possible antidotes to skepticism. It's really applying science to understand what is this thing, design, as a way of thinking and behaving.
And John, on your question that hasn't been asked?
It always comes down to, why do you care about this? Why are you passionate about this? That's the question, I think, at the basis of all of this, because if people can touch what they really care about, if they can find it, touch it, and then have a vision about how that can work in the world, I think you'll have huge, huge change in how things are. I think it's really the fundamental thing.
And I want to thank you for caring.
And I have to thank you, because with all the humble honesty, I can say it was one of the best interviews I ever had. And I really appreciate your presence here in Berlin. Take care and make the best out of it for all of us.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.